Taylor Swift, episode 3, football guide, a football fan's guide for Taylor Swift.
Yeah, we got Speak Now, which is really like the first, I guess Fearless wasn't necessarily country, but there's a lot of country elements rooted into it, where Speak Now feels like it's like her first transition away from that.
We're slipping away. It's not a full break from the country yet, and I don't think she ever really does a full break from the country, because even later in her catalog, she gets into some folk stuff, and you know, it'll be an interesting conversation to have, especially going into the next album, Red, which is a full break.
Yeah. Some good stuff on there, too. I was actually pleasantly surprised when I was listening to that.
You know, it's this album's strange, because I feel like there's a lot of hitters on this album. There's a lot of really powerful stuff on the mic in the lyrics on this album. There's, you know, classic Taylor Swift songs. And for some reason, this album feels like it just doesn't get the appreciation it deserves. Whether that's critically, whether that's, you know, within the kind of Taylor Swift universe, it just doesn't feel like it has that same pop as the last album.
I don't know about that. I mean,
maybe I'm missing something here, but
let me go to good old Spotify here and we'll check out the streams.
Cool.
You know what? I guess in terms of streams, you might be right. She recorded this in 2023, the Taylor's version. Let me go to the original.
Go to the original.
Yeah.
Did you listen to Taylor's version this time?
Of course.
Only?
Yeah. Give me one sec. There's a million albums here. So I just got to scroll all the way back. And here we go. Okay, so I guess you're right in terms of streams. There's not like the mega hits. I mean, they're still mega hits, but they're not
relative to her others.
Relative to Taylor Swift, they're not like as big of some of the other mega hits. Like,
which is crazy, dude.
Yeah, like Back to December, 380 million. Enchanted, 770 million. Mine, 218 million. And those would be the top three.
That's gross that Enchanted is number 2 on this album in listens.
Whereas Fearless had the original Love Story, 853. You Belong With Me, 617. But I will say she was getting bigger and bigger, because even like the middle tier songs here have over 100 million streams.
Right. You're on your third album now. You've definitely got the acclaim and you've got the eye of the public for sure. Between now, at this point, she's, by the time this album's come out, she's dated John Mayer, Taylor Lautner, Joe Jonas, had public spats with Kanye. I mean, she's right in the thick of it now.
Sure.
She is as big as a pop star as anybody else in the industry. Not any bigger than anybody else in the industry, but as big as anybody. her fame's risen drastically. And this album strikes me as like, the question I keep asking is, why is Taylor Swift so uniquely like popular? This album strikes me as a reason for that, which plays back in my question of like, why the fuck isn't this album so well like acclaimed? But there's but there's a handful of songs in this album that are just absolutely biting, bone-chilling shit in the lyrics, man.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that. Now let me rattle off some stats about how well this album did. This was the
I'm going to let you finish, but...
Yeah, this was the first million-plus launch since Lil Wayne's The Carter 3, with over a million, you know, first-week sales. And I know there's been stuff since, but that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, The Carter 3 was a huge album.
Speak Now achieved the second-largest sales week of any country album. Weird that they put that label. But anyway, any country album, and the largest for any female country act since they began tracking music in 1991. Only second to Garth Brooks, who obviously is male, but his Double Life LP in 1998.
Yeah, it's interesting they categorize. It's hard to even like put this album into one genre, because there's three, maybe four rock tracks. There's a couple of just straight pop tracks, it feels like. And then there's even the country songs. Aside from Mean, the other country songs don't strike me as like very, you know, twangy, deep south. It's very more like simple pop country.
Yeah. Let me finish off these stats here. Best week for any female solo artist since 2000, when Britney Spears' Oops, I Did It Again entered the charts. In its debut week, Speak Now accounted for one out of every six albums sold in the United States and sold more copies than numbers 2 through 62 combined on the charts.
Oh my God.
That's a crazy one.
I mean, that is a bit of like a that's a bit of a, like an artificially inflated stack. Cause it's like, you know, if Adele puts out a new album in 2010. If Adele puts out a new album like 12 weeks later in 2010, is that the album that sells more albums than the next 61 albums combined, you know?
I don't know. But
you know what I'm saying, though, right?
Like, yeah.
The first week of an album sales, of course it's going to sell more albums than everything.
Well, right, but even if you'd have to imagine there'd be some other high-profile artists that have artists on the charts at that point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is it feels like an artificial stat to, like, really wow you when the truth of the matter is, like, yes, it's a big album, but also it's the first week of the album where some of the...
True.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. And then the last one here, thanks to download sales, still a thing in 2010, Swift debuted 10 tracks from the album onto the Hot 100 in its first week of its release.
10 out of 14? Goddamn.
As the other four Speak Now songs had already charted, this meant every track from the 14-song standard edition appeared on the Hot 100. Speak Now sales represented 18% of all albums sold in its debut week, the highest first-week market share since the Nielsen SoundScan began tracking U.S. music sales in 1991.
Sheesh. Yeah, this no holds barred, man. She killed it with this album. Another, like, where... I don't think the self-titled debut opens to quite this level of acclaim. Fearless and Speak Now are absolute Barry Bonds hitters.
Yeah,
crazy,
for sure,
man. But anyways, before we get into this album, I do have one Taylor Swift related thing that I want to get into. So I talked a little bit on the Queen's album that Antonio Brown. First off, you follow Antonio Brown, right?
No, I do see it. Oh. His stuff pops up on Twitter, though, all the
time.
He's
an absolute must-follow, dude. One of my favorite accounts on Twitter. And it's not because I'm laughing with him. You have to laugh at him. He's such an asshole.
Oh, yeah, the biggest.
But he did post, like, you saw the Taylor Swift AI deepfakes that were going around all football season.
Yeah.
He posted one of those of him, like, in his Steelers jersey making out with Taylor Swift on the football field.
I did not see that.
Oh, dude. I said to Alex, I was like, you don't want the smoke, brother. I mean, he does, but you don't want that smoke. That's like, all right, Elon, shut it down. You know, like, I don't know if he knows what you can fuck with Dave Portnoy or Shannon Sharp or whoever you want to beef with on Twitter, but that's a bear you don't want to fight with.
Doesn't it feel like every, like, 4 months, it's like, oh, Antonio Brown is getting tried for domestic violence or
he's
not paying child support. Like, how is he not in jail yet?
I think about that all the time. Alex, actually, a couple months ago, Alex sent me, I don't know if he wrote these down or if he just, he found this somewhere else, maybe on Reddit. He sent me a list. It was 3 pages of truly incredible things Antonio Brown has done since, like, 2018 that are just unbelievable. It's like, pretty much his life since he left the Steelers, or even before, like,
the Bucks.
The Bucks, no.
Oh,
no.
You're saying,
I'm
like,
talking about, like, the end of the Steelers days,
yeah,
up to now. Some of the truly heinous shit he's done and laughably unbelievable things. Like, the one day the Antonio Brown documentary on Netflix is going to fucking rock. And you're going to be like, oh, I can't believe he farted in his doctor's face. That's insane.
Oh, yeah, there was a sexual assault or there's allegations for that. And then he on video exposed himself in the public pool or whatever. Like,
he threw a bag of gummy dicks at a police officer one time from his house.
Domestic violence, not paying child support, not paying the minor league football team that he owns. Like,
he got frostbite on his toes from a cryo chamber while trying to be released from the Raiders, who he had only joined a month earlier.
I don't understand how he's not in jail.
It is crazy. It is fucking, I don't know how this guy, his lawyers must be awesome. Between the child support and the lawyer bills, I don't know how he has money, but
he's definitely someone that needs to be locked up. I feel like in 30 years, it'll be like, oh yeah, Antonio Brown, like, killed a guy. Allegedly.
Oh,
don't you,
man,
get that vibe? Maybe I shouldn't say that, but don't you get that vibe?
Like, I know what you mean, though. Like, it wouldn't be that much of a stretch to find out Antonio Brown did, like, even more fucked up shit that he's doing now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess now, I don't know why I'm even thinking about this, but the other day you sent me a tweet with the pictures of the autopsy report from Kurt Cobain's unfortunate passing.
Yeah.
Was there any point in sending me that, or was that just an interesting, like, hey, look at this?
I didn't even read it. I just figured you'd enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I didn't take anything away from it except what I already know. So, you know. if anybody out there is interested in opening that case back up again, just think about it.
Anyway, if there's any Taylor Swift fans still listening at this
point. Yeah, yeah. So speak now, right? Wow, what a digression there. Anyways, yeah, love this album. And I guess let's just get into it before I give away any more.
Opens with an all-time Taylor Swift track. Mine.
Yeah, man, this is really, really cool, powerful stuff here. Pumped up pop country. Choppy electric guitar mixed in with like a lead guitar kind of licking long, twangy notes. Drum pattern mixed with her vocal cadence is really, really cool stuff. Lots of like background harmonizing. You're starting to see more on this album, even more than the last one where I had mentioned it too. But the song, the sounds are filling out. There's so much choreography, instrumentation mixed into a lot of these songs. It's really, really cool stuff, and this is a great opener.
Yeah, and she said in an old interview, there's a situation where a guy that she barely knew put his arm around her by the water, and she saw the entire relationship flash before her eyes, and like, you know, her third eye was open. She saw the light, and anyway, she took that and used that as inspiration for the song, which is, again, it's really cool that she can craft these like intricate stories and just based off of like shorter interactions.
Yeah, sober. She comes up with this shit sober. At least I would imagine.
Yeah. And
which is fucking crazy.
That is crazy. Based on the timing and context, fans are convinced that the song is about Corey Monteith, who I'm not familiar with him, but add another one to the Rolodex.
There's so many songs about like odd random people on this album. And there are some that are very not random, but there are some that are very random. It's a hilarious like confluence of, oh, John Mayer's a fucking prick, to Corey Monteith held my hand one time along the boardwalk.
Yeah.
What the hell? Oh, man.
But, you know, this is an all-time catchy chorus. Love this song.
Yeah, great open. Next one, I like this one, too. It's not quite the same level of love as the last track, but this is Sparks Fly. A slightly more slowed down, but still full country rock anthem, kind of. What the fuck's going on? Lost my notes. But you just... computer locked. You get the full range of like country rock sounds here. It's the strings coming in over the top. It's the choppy like loud guitars. She's really letting it rip on the mic. Like there's just, again, a lot to love about this song. Very fun.
Yeah, my mind forgets to remind me you're a bad idea. You touch me once and it's really something. You find I'm even better than you imagined I would be. I'm on my guard for the rest of the world, but with you I know it's no good. And speculation on this one is that it was about Jake Owen, country singer.
Jake Owen, yep.
I guess she opened up for him in Portland when she was 16, and the phrase Portland, Oregon is spelled out in the code on Speak Now's liner notes for the song.
Yeah, that's one thing she likes to do on these, I guess, CD and or I guess physical releases, is there these liner notes that all mean something that the true Swifties just fucking go nuts for. I don't know, not really for me. Anyways.
What, the song or the notes?
No, the notes.
Oh, I was going to say, I like the song.
I like the song, too. Don't give a goddamn about the notes. Anyways. Next one, maybe one of her best songs ever, Back to December. It's this incredibly powerful, like, full of strings, but also kind of twangy ballad, man. And it opens up the curtain a little bit. She did this maybe once or twice on the last album where she was like, hey, listen, like, I like to dog these guys for being dickheads. But sometimes it's my fault, too. And this is the truest, rawest, to this point, truest, rawest, like, self, like, revealing piece of work she's put out. This is very much like, hey, I hurt you. I fucked up. I'm sorry. Like, it's a diss track to herself. But the way the strings and the vocals rise and lower, and it's just an incredibly, incredibly powerful song.
Yeah, it's a fantastic ballad. You know, just singing, this is me swallowing my pride, standing in front of you saying I'm sorry for that night. And I go back to December all the time. Like, just the vivid imagery that she's painting and just owning up to the fact that she did this person wrong it's great. This is one of my favorite Taylor Swift songs from this album, and maybe just in general, too. Many of the Swifties believe this song is about Taylor Lautner, who she had dated at the end of 2009. Taylor Lautner confirmed that it is, not Taylor Swift, which is kind of funny. Like,
yeah, Taylor, same Taylor, name, yeah. But
the only other note I had on this track, and I'm not going to say anything about whether it's right or wrong, is just three songs in, three different guys.
It's just a note. That's an interesting fun fact with Joey.
I'm not going to say anything else. It just is what it is. Something I noted.
Just something to note. All right. Let's get into a little bit back to the fun stuff. Speak Now. This is a very simple love song. You know, it's an interesting love song, though, because it puts Taylor in a position where she's kind of like chasing this guy who's betrothed to be married. He's at his wedding, like, ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of creeping in the back somewhere, like, say no, say no, say no. And, you know, it kind of builds up, and it's this fairy tale thing where at the end he just breaks away and runs away with her. And, you know, musically this is fine. It's fairly simple. You know, acoustic strumming with light electric notes playing over it, light, airy vocals. I hate the lyrics here. I think this is not a poorly written song, but just a cheesy, bad message. No, I think it's a bad message. I think, like, being that person that's like...
Oh, to go to someone's wedding.
To go to someone's wedding and creep around hoping that they'll, like, they'll call it off at the very last second is such a weird thing to do.
Yeah, stalker vibes for sure.
I don't know. I don't like it.
Funny enough, the inspiration for this song was from her, or rumored to be, about her longtime friend Hayley Williams, lead singer Paramore.
That feels like something Hayley would do in her younger days, though.
Where she did. Hayley attended the wedding of her ex-boyfriend and ex-bandmate, Josh Farro, who's in the band.
Yeah, right. We talked about this, yeah.
You know, throughout the Paramore's years, he's in and out of the band. So that was rumored to be the inspiration for the song, which is funny, but...
Oh, that makes a lot more sense, yeah.
I'm kind of with you where... Well, first of all, if I'm in a good mood, I like the song. If I'm in a bad mood, I don't like the song. But I'm kind of with you where the lyrics are like... Maybe you should have said this before the wedding, you know?
Like, yeah, I just don't like it. I think it's kind of a shitty message, honestly.
I'm with you. Like, if that's truly what you're feeling, like, find a time before the wedding.
Yeah.
Side note, real quick. I saw this video yesterday of this girl on TikTok who thought a guy was cute at the grocery store, saw his credit card name when he was putting in the chip.
Oh, my God.
Found him on Facebook, found his mom, who was in a book club in the area, joined the book club, started talking to his mom about how they liked the same books, said, oh, haha, I'm single, got the mom to set her up with the son. I was like, that is crazy. Like, just stalker 101.
A simple hi would have sufficed.
Well, it's not even that. It's like, if she's going to do that just to meet someone, imagine what she's going to do when someone dumps her.
Oh, yeah.
FBI watch list, check the life insurance policy when it came out, all that kind of stuff.
How do I put this? So was the video from this girl's perspective? Like, was she the one telling
the
story?
She was telling the story, like, and
she's
like...
Oh, so she was, like, kind of, like, bragging about
this. Yes.
Man, run. Run for the hills. Brother, if you're listening.
Bro, it was crazy. And she was attractive, too. It was, like, not that...
Yeah, it's immaterial to the story, but...
It was just one of those things where I was like, at some point, someone will have a restraining order against this person.
Well, that's... I think this falls into the fun zone on The Matrix. Fun, not marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah. All righty, next one. The song I've been waiting to talk about for weeks, Dear John.
Yeah, so before we get into the song... I'll do this at the end.
Okay. Musically, it's really, really cool. It's strummy acoustic with a lead guitarist playing all of John Mayer's licks. It's gravity, but reworked into this twisted, satirical, fuck you, John Mayer. The lyrics here are so goddamn biting. In the very beginning, it sounds almost like a bit like... It sounds vaguely reminiscent of, like, A Better Time, and quickly turns into, like, you know, this was really fucked up, don't you? Don't you? And just all the different lines through the verses about how, like, she was doing her best. She was trying as hard as she could to make this work. And John just twisted the knife at every fucking turn. And everybody in her life was like, hey, please, like, I'm begging you, don't do this. And she thought she knew better. This is the classic story of a young person who thinks they're invincible. They know the world. They could figure it out themselves. And everybody around them being like, no, I'm telling you, don't. And them being right. Absolutely bone-chilling track. I fucking love it.
Well, also in the song she sings, don't you think 19 is too young to be played by your dark, twisted games?
That's a part of it.
She was 19. He was like 29 or 30 at the time.
32, I believe.
Which anytime you get... Like that kind of age gap when someone's like 18 or 19, it's like, put this guy on the watch list. That's, I just, I don't know. It always just, it never sits well with me.
The podcast I listened to about Taylor Swift, on this album, they mentioned that, and I think this is a bit of a dramatization by a true Swiftie, but the way they put it was, this song singularly drove John Swift into the mountains of Montana to record his more country-style songs.
Well, you know what's funny is the timing for this song to come out was, like, right after John had experienced the backlash from whatever he did in, like, Playboy magazine,
yeah,
or whatever.
Right, right.
And then I think he said the N-word in the other interview.
Yeah.
And
so he said something along the lines of, I was already hurt, and you had to, like, twist the knife.
Yeah, so what's funny is he said, I never got an email. I never got a phone call. I was really caught off guard, and it really humiliated me at a time when I'd already been dressed down.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the quote. Fuck you. You deserved all of this. You did this. None of this is like, oh, where did this come from?
And then to follow that up, when asked about the song's lyric, don't you think I was too young to be messed with? Mayer responded, I don't want to get into that.
That's a classic. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's...
Fuck you, John Mayer. But aside from all that, I do love this song, even on a musical level, man. But this was the first true moment where I was like, I fucking get it. I know how these crazy people, like, I know why they act the way they act. It's not to say that I'll ever be this kind of person, but I get the Swifties.
And the thing I wanted to bring up, I think at this point, John Mayer is on the all-time flip the record villains list. There's John Mayer, Fred Durst, Rick Rubin, and then John Shire and Michael Lang, the Woodstock 99
And Courtney
founders.
Love, I'll throw in there as
And
well.
Courtney Love. That's the all-time flip the record villains list. I think we should.
Yeah.
Should we just.
Go ahead. Give it a round. Ah! Fuck you, John Mayer.
Fuck you, John Mayer.
See ya.
We got to get that. That's the spirit.
Maybe we'll replace we'll put Taylor Swift in on that spot, and we got to put a villains list up here somewhere.
I almost printed out, well, we don't have a printer, but I almost printed out a Taylor Swift headshot to just tape over the John Mayer.
I was going to, I just forgot, I ran out of time. Busy week, but oh man, what an asshole. All right, that's all I got for that one.
True scumbag.
Next up, Mean, very 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 country track. Old school, kind of twangy, jangly banjos and full confident work on the mic. Drums are very, like, clappy, solid, thumpy thing. It struck me as a very much like a campfire song that was just built up a little bit more into an album sound. Cool track.
Yeah, so the lyrical inspiration for this one was about this guy, Bob LaFette. I probably butchered that, but this guy who criticized Taylor's Grammy performance with Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, so he said something along the line. He, like, basically accused her of using auto-tune. And she emailed him a couple times, like, hey, listen, fucker, I don't know why you're coming out of the blue to, like, rip on me like this, but if you want to, like, come on tour with me, check out all the equipment I have, clearly confirm for yourself that I don't have auto-tune, be my guest. And then, in parallel, wrote this song, and it goes massive, and he just gets publicly
caught
humiliated.
Caught with his pants on the ground?
Yeah, publicly humiliated. Never really recovers.
Yeah.
Dickhead. Also, in a related note, so that same podcast that I listened to, the former CEO of Ticketmaster is one of the co-hosts, or maybe he's president.
The founder?
No.
Just one of the CEOs?
Yeah. Oh God, my computer keeps doing this. But, and he has this, like, sad, like, sob story about how this same guy wrote a Mean article about him, and he's like, I just connect to it on such a personal level. And I'm like, you're such an asshole. I don't give a damn.
Fuck Ticketmaster.
Anyways.
So I have gotten a couple texts of people that really enjoyed that episode.
Good. So I hope more and more people, like, pick that up because it was powerful. There's a lot going on there.
Fuck Ticketmaster. Ticketmaster's on the list of all-time villains, too.
All my homies hate Ticketmaster. All right.
We should. We just get a piece of paper.
Ticketmaster with a big red X? Yeah. All right. Next one, Story of Us. This is the first one that struck me as, like, a pop rocky track, kind of Avril Lavigne style.
Yeah, kind of
Skater Boy to it, you know? Quick, strummy electric guitars, loud, powerful vocals. The lyrics are interesting. They're clever. There's this bit kind of early on after maybe the first chorus, I think it is, where the guitars are strumming away. It's good stuff. And then she goes, all right, next chapter. Like she's flipping the page in a story here, kind of breaking the fourth wall type deal. It's cool. Other than that, you know, loud pounding drums, very pop punky. It's cool to see the side of her. I had mentioned previously that I'd like to see her do more of this, and this is the first one on this album where you do get that.
And she does break that fourth wall quite often, even if it's just like a laugh.
Yeah.
That makes, so that's find its way into the final cut.
Right.
But yeah, this is another one likely about Taylor Lautner. I guess they were at an award show, and, you know, there had been a falling out between them, and they were just at the award show a couple seats away, but not like looking at each other or anything. It's just like when you're, you know, when you break up with someone and you're just like, ah, we're at the same place, but we don't really want to be.
There's rumors that this one's about John Mayer, too.
Oh, I mean, that would make sense. At an awards.
Same thing. Same thing.
Yeah,
right.
Same thing.
There's also a rumor that Brad Paisley was sitting between them. And the conversation I'd love to have with him about sitting between these two at the award show, because they were sitting so close together, just to be like, hey, how is it? How'd that go?
Dude, you know John Mayer is the type of guy, too, that you could she might even say something to him like, hey, John, blah, 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 blah. And he would just like stare straight ahead and not even acknowledge her. Like, he's that type of guy.
I'm Rick James, bitch. Yeah, totally. 100%. All right. Next one. Where am I?
Never Grow Up.
Never Grow Up. This one's not for me. It's not for us, really.
I wrote the exact same thing. Slow, soft, not for me.
Yeah, it's just, it's almost a lullaby of like a mother reminiscing on her daughter's childhood. And, you know, that old sentiment of like, I wish you could just be a child forever. It's not for us.
Nope.
Next one, Enchanted. This is so, oh man, this is tough. I do like the track. I like the song. It's about the Owl City guy.
Yeah. Adam Young.
And the song kind of has like an Owl City sound to it. It's a bit Fireflies in a way, you know, with the way she sings that chorus. I was enchanted to meet you. It has a little bit of that Owl City sound to it. Other than that, very quiet, very low open. Kind of picks up with some quick plucky acoustic notes and drums. Electric guitars kind of fill it out after a bit. Aside from being about the Owl City guy, it actually is kind of a cool love song.
Yeah.
The Owl City guy recorded a response to this song. You know about this?
Yeah, it's a cover, but then he changed one of the verses.
It's horrible.
I didn't listen to it.
Oh, it's brutal, dude. Yes, he changed some of the verses, and he changed a little bit of the sound, but it's more or less a cover. And he's just like, responding to this song with another song. Like, dude, just go talk to her. She's obviously written this about you. Like, just go have a conversation. Don't record some cringy ass cover.
Well, I think he did it as this will be fun, like a respectful like reply. Not like a, oh, I'm gonna do this to respond to her, but more as like a, oh, this would be a fun idea, right? Like,
yeah,
to respond to the song.
I guess that was the idea. It just didn't come off that way to me. Anyway, she had heard that reply and was like, oh, I don't know, I'm good.
Really?
Yeah, it wasn't great.
Oh. It is funny, not funny, but the line, I was enchanted to meet you, it's so cool when an artist can take something like, oh, I met someone for the first time and had a good time, and rewrite that with one line that's so powerful. And the way she sings that, like, that's what makes her so great, right?
Yeah, it's that word enchanted. It's not, it was a pleasure, da-da-da-da-da,
yeah.
any number of, you know, one-liners. It's enchanted. It's very Taylor Swift to choose that lyric specifically.
Speaking of Owl City, we should do a episode on one-hit wonders one of these days.
It'd be a little bit tougher to do just because there's so many and we'd be all over the place. But yeah, 100%.
Oh, like pick a time period. And
I'll put that on the board after this.
So I feel like Owl City has a couple songs that have decent streams, but it's really just Fireflies.
Yeah, 100%. Alrighty, that was Enchanted. Next one, Better Than Revenge.
This is the pop punk.
What a choices were made on this song. Very rock track, very Paramore sounding, very Misery Business sounding to me. It's a biting, angry song about an ex-boyfriend who, you know, falls in love with this other girl or is dating this other girl.
Yeah, Joe Jonas and Camilla Bell.
And Taylor can't fucking stand her. She can't believe that he started dating her after he broke up with Taylor. And so it's very much like, all right, fuck you, Camilla, I'm coming for you. Or I can come for you. Keep my name out of your mouth. You know, like I said, very solid pop rock here. Thick, churning guitars kind of pumping quickly. Low range, tense vocals. Drums, very pop punky, very Travis Barker. So there's an interesting line in here, too. Like I said, it's a It's a bit of a tense, angry track. There's a line she changed between the original and the Taylor's version of this song.
Yeah, I've got it here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so in the original, she sings, "She's an actress, whoa. She's better known for the things that she does on the mattress, whoa." And then in Taylor's version, she sings, "She's an actress, whoa. He was a moth to the flame. She was holding the matches, whoa."
Yeah, so kind of the retrospect on this song was like, that's a little too far, Taylor. What? Maybe if you're going to do the re-release, I don't know if that's what you want to be going for. And I think she heard that or maybe just realized it herself. It's hard to say, but it's cool that she did, like, with the perspective of being a grown up and, you know, having all the years behind this song, like, cool to be like, all right, it's not that deep. Like,
and also being like, Joe Jonas probably isn't even on my level anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just change it. So I was kind of a dickhead in the moment. It is what it is. Like, whatever. Not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But yeah, really cool song. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, I like that she experimented with that kind of sound.
Same. All right, next one, Innocent. Here you got kind of a soft, strummy acoustic ballad, drawn out electric notes, full string section, very dejected, beat up, broken vocals. It's a beautiful sound, but another one I just don't think is for us.
This is, I don't know what track this is, 8, 9, 10 or whatever.
This is 11.
11. This is probably the 8th or 9th different person she's talking about. This one's about Kanye. Or she's singing, "It's okay, life is a tough crowd, 32 and still growing up now. Who you are is not what you did, you're still an innocent."
Yeah, so the range of emotions, or I guess responses to that whole situation, are hilarious as you look further on into her career. Maybe we should save it, but there comes a point where this beef boils back up. Because at this time, it sounds very much like she's like, hey, listen, you made a mistake. I get it. Shit happens.
Yeah.
I've been emotional too. There comes a time later in her career that we'll talk about at some point more in depth that it's not so, like, forgiving and accepting, where Kim and Kanye kind of go back on the offensive for some reason.
Yeah, for some reason.
For no reason.
No reason at all.
This has been dead. There's no reason to go back on the offensive. And Taylor just fucking murders him.
There should be a Netflix documentary on how the Kardashians, like, everyone that they're with, like, any of them, they just turn the person crazy, like, batshit crazy.
What a cast. What a cast of characters.
Yeah. From Lamar Odom to Kanye to Travis Scott and everything in between. I mean, there's an all-time, like, I don't know, man. You're not the same when you come out of it most of the time. I think Blake Griffin got through unscathed.
Ben Simmons.
Yeah, Ben Simmons. Blake Griffin's in the minority, though.
Devin Booker escaped unharmed.
For now, yeah.
For now.
Yeah, he's still averaging 30 points a game. Yeah,
good. Yeah, he's doing pretty good. Yeah, I'd take him here. Anyways, yeah, that's an interesting point. All righty. Next one is unbelievably Paramore. It's Haunted. The podcast I listened to kind of compared this more to Evanescence, Amy Lee. I still think it's a little bit more Paramore, but the way she draws out those lines, I could see where they make those comparisons. It is another very hard rock track. Low heavy guitars kind of chunking in with pounding heavy drums. Little bits of banjo mixed in just to remind you it's still country Taylor. But it's really more of a pop rock track than anything. Prominent, powerful piano. Desperate, powerful vocals. It's so cool. Her work on the mic here is fucking amazing, and I really like this song.
You know what vibe I got from this? Cashmere.
I'm not familiar with that.
The Zeppelin song.
Oh! Oh, yeah. I hear it now. I never thought about that. Wow. It's the chorus sections. Wow. That's cool. I like that a lot. That's a cool comp. I never would have thought of that, but I hear it now that you're saying it, for sure.
Yeah. It was just something where I was listening to it, and I was like, huh, this sounds kind of familiar.
It's the mix of, like, the musical orchestra and those long, drawn-out notes on the mic. Yeah,
yeah, it's super dramatic, and it's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, really like it.
And, yeah, this song, good mix-up music-wise again, and this is about, you know, when you're in a relationship and you're drifting apart with someone and you kind of realize it and you don't know what you can do.
Yeah, yeah. Cool track. Two more on the original version of this album. Last Kiss next up. Nothing much here. Just a quiet, simple ballad. The lyrics are touching, I would say, but otherwise, nothing much.
Yeah, I think the songwriting's good. Music-wise, I'm not going to come back to it.
Yeah.
There's another one with the hidden messages where it spells out forever and always. Mm. And this is another Joe Jonas one.
Gotcha. All right. And the last track on the original version of this album is Long Live. This is a cool, like, power country anthem, kind of. You hear Taylor strumming the acoustic with this, like, crying, buzzy electric licking around it. Soft but firm vocals. Chorus kind of, like, pumps up the energy, and then it crescendos really, really well. I like the ending of this song a lot. Great closer for the album. There are lines throughout that struck me as, and there's no way that this is at all connected, but there's references to Kings and Queens and a new decade, and it reminded me a bit of Kings and Queens by 30 Seconds to Mars.
Oh, I'm sure if I heard it, I'd recognize it. Not off the top.
We are the Kings and Queens. Yeah, there's no way that her and Jared Leto had anything ever. But I guess there's like a non-zero chance.
I don't know, but Jared Leto, maybe not low-key, but very good actor.
Yeah.
We watched...
Was it Dallas Buyers Club?
No, it was with Denzel Washington, All the Little Things.
Okay, I haven't seen that
Jared
one.
Leto played the bad guy in great performance.
He's a good villain. He's a villainous, not, I don't want to call him a villainous human, but.
He plays the villain like.
He plays the villain well.
As good as anyone, yeah.
He's a weird cat in real life, too, so.
Yeah.
Makes sense. That's good. But yeah, you got anything in here?
Yeah, Long Live, just a song for her team, producers, friends, all that good stuff, family. It's all right for me. Not one of the more forgettable ones, but sounds like it was personal to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing we did last week. You want to highlight anything in the bonus tracks? There's a couple I want to talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure you want to talk about this one, and I want to talk about two, Electric Touch with Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, man, this is really cool. I got very much Kings of Leon vibes here, which I guess... Like, you would expect when Fall Out Boy comes on the track, it would more be a Fall Out Boy track with Taylor Swift.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was hoping for, to be honest.
But it's not really that. It's more of a Taylor Swift song with Patrick Stump doing, like, a few lines. You know, like, but it is cool. It's good pop rock. Not so tense. I love the chorus on this one. The way she sings that, like, that line, Electric Touch, in the chorus is fucking awesome. Really high note. I think Pat does a great job on the mic here. I mean, I'm never going to diss Fall Out Boy. They're great. Great track. Great deep cut.
Yeah, I think it wasn't what I was expecting, so I didn't like it as much as I probably should, because it is a good song. And Fall Out Boy is one of Taylor's, like, favorite bands growing
awesome.
Up, so that's kind of why she wanted to collaborate with them.
That's
and
sick.
She had said Lana Del Rey and Pete Wentz were two of her favorite lyricists, which does Pete Wentz do a lot of the writing for...
He must, then, because he's not the singer, right? He's the bassist.
No, he's the guitar.
He's the bassist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess we'll figure it out when we get into Fall Out Boy.
Yeah, at some point, one day, we'll definitely do Fall Out Boy. And they got a weird dynamic, because, like, usually the lead singer is the front man. So it's weird having Pete kind of lead the band.
And he's totally the – Pete Wentz is totally the guy.
He's clearly the front man.
On the cover of Rolling Stone back in the day.
Yeah.
I think he married or dated Avril Lavigne. That was huge. And
yeah.
Even – I've seen him twice now in concert. Like, he'll do, like, the interludes between songs and all that where he takes the mic.
Yeah, he's the stereotypical rocker. It's almost like Pat just wants to be, like, in the background.
Totally.
Like, if Pat could sing from behind the stage and it didn't affect the show, like, he probably would.
100%. Yeah, he's just singing behind the curtain.
Yeah, right? Like, it's such a strange thing, but they're awesome. So,
yeah.
No doubt there. Another one I want to touch on, another feature, Castles Crumbling, featuring Hayley Williams. This feels like an old Paramore song that was completely repurposed and reimagined. Because I can see this being a very much like Riot album style Paramore song. But in this version of it, it's very like much quieter, soft. It's like soft pop, basically. But you hear those bits of like dejection and sadness, like really piercing through both of their voices. I don't know if Hayley shines as much on the mic as she usually does on this one, but I think she still does a nice job. I wish she got a little bit more like room to stretch a little bit, I guess.
This is another one where I think I'm being picky, but I wanted them to do like a Paramore style song with Taylor Swift as opposed to a Taylor Swift style song with Hayley Williams.
You almost wish that Hayley would have just jumped on Better Than Revenge. Done
yeah.
That,
yeah.
You know, because I hear you. This is very much another Taylor Swift song that you're bringing in an artist that doesn't really do this kind of stuff. So it's weird. But I do like it. Is there anything else here? I mean, there's some other ones I liked. I liked When Emma Falls in Love. I thought that was a cool lyric song. Not musically, not like my favorite, but I thought it was an interesting like take on looking at like perspective on somebody else that you like admire falling in love and like trying to deal with a tumultuous love life.
Yeah. And again, I don't think like none of these extra songs are bad by any means. Like they're fine songs, but I do think it was the original cut of the album was a good selection.
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Similar to Fearless.
Is there anything else here? Yeah, I mean, there's a few other good songs in here, but oh, I got it. I Can See You, A Girl From My Own Heart. She breaks out the disco guitar on this one. I do like it. It's got this slow, like poppy, bumpy vibe. It's not like a disco track, but it has the disco guitar. It's got this cool '80s pop vibe, kind of B-52s thing. I do like this one a lot.
Yeah, I always go back to. I just wish like these huge artists would just do an album where they do like.
Just commit to the bit.
Two country songs, two alt rock songs, two pop songs.
No, that's not what I want. I want them to commit to the bit fully for one project. If that's a 6-song EP, then so be it.
I mean, that's what I would prefer. But even I don't know. It was just another idea.
I think of think back to Kesha's Rainbow, right? Like, were we thrilled that the first few tracks were pop, then the next few tracks were
country?
Like these, well, she had country later, but then in between there was this like. Weird mix of soft pop and like, I don't even know, it was darker and not really for us. And then the country songs come out of nowhere. And then there's even a couple songs at the end that were just like really strange.
Yeah.
Like, did we like that?
It was all right.
You know.
Some of it.
Yeah. So that's maybe my counterpoint to your idea. But it's not a bad idea anyhow. That's all to say that it's pretty much what we got this week for Speak Now.
Yeah. Got another good album.
Yeah, another really good album. Absolute classic in her catalog. And it's crazy when you think about how many Grammys she won that this wasn't even – I don't even think this was nominated.
Oh, it was definitely nominated.
Oh, was it? Oh.
Yeah. I think every – I'd have to go back. But
most of them
are. Vast majority of them are nominated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty, guys. Then that's all we got this week. So we'll do let's see. Well, we got Queens of the Stone Age second part coming out. We've got this coming out. We've got
Black Crowes album
review for Black Crowes' Shake Your Moneymaker coming out. And then we're going to be gone for a little bit. So we're trying to scatter these all in as we go for the next few weeks. When we come back, I think All-American Rejects and Bon Iver?
No. We got Vance Joy first, then All-American Rejects.
Yeah, so that's kind of the upcoming schedule for us in the next few weeks. So let's go ahead and close it out today. Follow us on socials, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube,